WPHM. The Blue Water Area comes to talk with Paul Miller on WPHM.
All right, it is Tuesday morning, a little rainy out there. We'll detail the weather forecast again coming up in just a few minutes. One of the legacies, I think, that Governor Snyder hopes of his leadership in Michigan is all the jobs created in this state. And at what cost is the question. Michael LaFave is with us from the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. Mike, good morning.
Good morning.
Appreciate you being here. We've talked on the phone a number of times. Nice to have you in studio this morning.
Good to be here.
So what prompted your study of this Michigan Business Development Program to begin with?
Well, we've been looking at economic development programs run by the state since we literally opened the doors at the Mackinac Center. I think our first study on economic development was in the late 1980s about Downriver Detroit and, mm-hmm. and the economic development approaches they were taking locally. So this is just part of our wheelhouse. And the study or the program had been around now for about 5 years. When Governor Snyder took over, he said, this big Michigan Economic Growth Authority business incentive program we have is too big. We can't budget for it. Let's do something smaller and more transparent, and it will be better, I promise. So after 5 years, we thought, well, we have enough data available. Let's do a statistical analysis of this and a general accounting of it and see if it's as effective as Governor Snyder thinks it was going to be. And our accounting of it was no. We've said, look, 33% of the deals that have been struck by the state that were allegedly winners have either been in default with the state on their agreement, are currently in default, or have been dismissed from the program for failure to perform. In fact, at least three of them are in bankruptcy proceedings and one of them is being liquidated. What we did to try to measure the effectiveness of this program as economists is we created a statistical model to isolate the impact of all these projects that were being subsidized by the state. And we actually found a connection between the projects and jobs, but it was slightly negative. Mm. We found that for every $500,000 in subsidies granted to a company, actually paid out, there was a corresponding loss of about 600 jobs in the average county. So obviously, you could just put this money in a rainy day fund for a future recession and have a better return on investment than we're getting now with this program.
Yeah, it's interesting. And you say that St. Clair County has used a lot of this, hasn't it?
Well, they have been a recipient county. We have, I think, from 2012 to 2016, we measured five companies receiving money from the state for various projects, subsidies. One subsidy was for $4 million. Since then, I think three of them have slipped into default, at least temporarily, two temporarily, and one has been dismissed from the program outright. And in 2017, which was not part of our study data set, there were an additional four companies approved for subsidies in the state, or in the county. We don't know, what's happened since. I haven't come down here and looked exactly at this company specifically, but I hope they do better than the past deals that have occurred.
How could this program be made better? Or do you just think it needs to be scrapped and gone away?
I think it needs to be scrapped. It's very difficult for state bureaucrats to pick winners from losers in the marketplace and appropriately bet on those future winners. In fact, hedge fund operators who spent their lifetime trying to sort out the winners from losers rarely beat the index that they're compared to in terms of performance. So when you throw on politics on top of that and all the other things they have to take into consideration, they're just throwing darts at a board. I think you can do better, and the governor demonstrated how you can do better by using that money to cut taxes for everyone or even just use the money to fill potholes. There's scholarly evidence from university scholars that show that a good solid infrastructure has such a high return on investment up to a certain point that it competes with across the board tax cuts. It's that effective as a development tool.
By the way, this is not a partisan issue because across the board, Democrats and Republicans have voted for these programs, haven't they?
That's absolutely true. In fact, just last Tuesday, we released a new analysis of subsidy bills that had been approved back to 2001. We looked at the votes of 498 legislators over going back to 2001, and we found an almost even split in terms of the dollar value that Republicans and Democrats were willing to authorize. And when I say dollar value, I'm talking about taking money from lots of people and giving it to a few in the hope that they might create more jobs than everyone else would create if we were just allowed to keep our money. And some of them, by the way, are local folks. Mm-hmm. I looked at people who come out of St. Clair, Phil Pavlov, Pamela Hornberger, Don Lowers, Shane Hernandez. Two of those four, Shane Hernandez and Pamela Hornberger, have voted to authorize exactly $0 in what we would call corporate welfare or corporate handouts Phil Pavlov, who's been around the longest, actually approved or voted for $4.1 billion in these transfers. On the smaller end, Don Lowers, or yeah, Don or Dan?
Dan
Lowers,
yep.
Voted to authorize $1 billion in transfers. So it's a mix, and you have two who are in the zero club. There's only 22 lawmakers out of the 498, going back to 2001, that have voted for zero dollars worth of transfers from lots of us to a few of us. And I think they deserve some applause because it's a lonely club. You know, nobody writes you a check for standing up against corporate welfare, but lots of people send you a check for arranging corporate welfare.
Yeah, sure, absolutely, for helping out. It's interesting because I don't hear a lot of people talking about this, and this is an election year. I would think this would become a central issue, certainly in a gubernatorial election.
We think that it should be. And that it probably will be, especially now with our scorecard, because rumor had gotten out before this was released. And we were getting calls from lawmakers, or our colleagues were being spotted in Lansing and saying, hey, I hope I have a good score in your scorecard because I think I vote against this stuff.
Yeah.
And so other lawmakers who are actually campaigning now have put it on their Facebook page and said, I'm proud of my $0 record, or they've said, you know, my competitor voted for this much in dollars to be transferred. Even Patrick Colbeck released a press release touting his low approval record versus his opponent's higher approval records.
Interesting. Before we're done, I want to make sure everybody knows where they can find that online, because I know you've got all this on your website. You know, so the big question is, how can we attract good, well-paying jobs to Michigan if not by just handing out checks to anybody that wants to come?
Well, across the board solutions, what we would call the more free market solutions. You don't need an expensive bureaucracy in Lansing surveying the state and saying, ah, it's this business who's going to be the next great thing. Let's take money from everyone and give it to this one. So we believe in what we call the fair field and no favors approach to economic development. You know, people, we had to beat them back at the borders in the first half of the 20th century. You know, the people were coming here for jobs before the government really got into this business of trying to favor one company or industry over another. And they would again if they knew they could come to Michigan and make a profit. Now, there's been great changes to public policy in the broad mm-hmm. aspect of things. We eliminated the Michigan business tax and related surcharge and replaced it with a low, flat, transparent corporate income tax of 6%. That's a great tool. We've adopted a right-to-work law, which I think makes the labor market more flexible and is a sort of a signal that you're open for business. These types of broad-based reforms are what generate true, long-lasting economic growth and development. The only downside is for the politicians who can't attend the ribbon-cutting ceremonies and take credit for whatever building you see going up.
Right. Yeah, and they do like to do that, don't mm-hmm. they? Absolutely. Where can people find out more information about this and look at the scorecard and all those other things?
Our website is www.mackinaw.org, and it's Mackinaw with a C on the end, not a W, the island, not the city.
Right.
And on the top right-hand side, we currently have our most recent press release, which involves the scorecard, and you can follow the links to the list of lawmakers and exactly what bill they voted on and how much it would authorize. So it's really a detailed piece of information on our website.
Of course, you know what they're going to say is, well, we were just trying to bring jobs to the district. We wanted to bring good, well-paying jobs to our district. And sometimes it works, but there's no guarantee that it's always going to work, is there?
Even a broken watch is right twice a day. Sometimes they get it right. They really do. But the vast majority of research on this, and not just conducted by the Mackinac Center, but university scholars across the country, show that at best it's often a zero-sum game and there's no impact. But if you factor in the costs of not only the subsidy, but running a bureaucracy that is paid a lot to pick winners and losers, it's a net negative for the state. The Michigan Business Development Program, which we talked about, has sort of a sister policy in Pennsylvania, and they spend a lot more. And they, in 1 year, had to distribute $600 million, and it was the only year that they found a positive impact from the spending. So if you do a cost-benefit analysis on that, it's just not something that can be sustained. And you'd probably do better cutting taxes for everyone by $600 million or using it to fix your infrastructure.
Well, absolutely. And I was going to ask you this. What are other states doing? Because doesn't it seem like if Michigan wants to attract jobs, you know, the way that other states are doing it, do what they're doing?
Right. And some are doing more of this corporate welfare stuff and not doing well necessarily well as a result of it. And some are doing much less. I've been following Florida because time and again, they're rolling back these types of programs. And in fact, against the governor's wishes. So Republicans in their House and Senate have fought their own Republican governor who wanted more of certain stuff and refused to participate. In fact, they passed a law that forces the governor to be the final approval on any corporate welfare deal that they do so that he is personally responsible if it goes south.
Interesting.
And what's funny is he keeps asking for more money for that particular program,
right.
But he's not using the money. It's almost as if he's skittish, but he wants to keep the money building up
right.
In case he does decide in the last days of his administration, for instance,
yeah.
to sign off on a ton of deals.
Wow. That's interesting. Politics is fascinating in that way, isn't it?
It is.
Well, it's worth reading. Check out the Mackinac Center's website. Again, Mackinac with a C. Mike, nice to see you. Thanks so much for coming in. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks for having me.
Michael LaFave with us on WPHM 24 past 7 o'clock now.